ॐ नमो भगवति वासुदेवाय। So today we'll continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 27, entitled Attack by Chandavag on the city of Puranjana, text number 12. Yukte Shivam Pramatasya Kutum Bhakshar Tachetasaha Asasada Savaikalo Yapriya Priya Yoshitam. Thus, Puranjana, being attached to fruitive activities, Karmakandya, as well as kit and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at the point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word priya yositam and apriya are very significant. The word yosit means woman, and priya means dear or pleasing. That is not very much welcome for those who are too much attached to material enjoyment, which culminates in sex. There is an instructive story in this connection. Once, when a saintly person was passing on his way, he met a prince, the son of a king, and blessed him, saying, "My dear prince, may you live forever." The sage next met a saintly person and said to him, "You may either live or die." Eventually the sage met a brahmachari devotee, and he blessed him, saying, "My dear devotee, you may die immediately." Finally the sage met a hunter, and he blessed him, saying, "Neither live nor die." The point is that those who are very sensual and are engaged in sense gratification do not wish to die. Generally, a prince has enough money to enjoy his senses. Therefore, the great sage said that he should live forever. For as long as he lived, he could enjoy life, but after his death, he would go to hell. Since the brahmachari devotee was leading a life of severe austerities and penances, in order to be promoted back to Godhead, the sage said that he should die immediately so that he need not continue to labor hard and could instead go back home back to Godhead. A saintly person may either live or die, for during his life he is engaged in serving the Lord, and after his death he also serves the Lord. Thus his life and next are the same for a saintly devotee, for in both he serves the Lord. Since the hunter lives a very ghastly life due to killing animals, and since he will go to hell when he dies, he is advised to neither live nor die. King Puranjana finally arrived at the point of old age. In old age, the senses lose their strength, and although an old man desires to enjoy his senses, and especially sex life, he is very miserable, because his instruments of enjoyment no longer function. Such sensualists are never prepared for death. They simply want to live on and extend their life by so-called scientific advancement. Some foolish Russian scientists also claim that they are going to make man immortal through scientific advancement, under the leadership of such crazy fellows, civilian is going on. Sorry, civilization is going on. Cruel death, however, comes and take all of them away. Despite their desire to live forever, this type of mentality was exhibited by Hiranyakashipu. But when the time was ripe, the Lord personally killed him within a second. So here, we are hearing about the story of Puranjana. And this Puranjana, in the beginning, Narada Muni, when he began the story, he says, Asit Nama Puranjana Raja Rajan. My dear king, once upon a time there was a king called Puranjana. This king Puranjana, he was very famous and very celebrated for his activities. Brihadrava means activities. And he had a friend, Sakavigyata Namasit. He had a friend by the name of the unknown. This refers to the super soul, Paramatma. Although the Jivatma is always accompanied by the super soul, owing to his forgetfulness, he thinks that he is all alone, he is making his plans, not knowing that there is an eternal associate who is always witnessing his or her activities. Therefore, this stage of consciousness is called Puranjana, because it is a state of forgetfulness. Yes. And he thinks that he is the doer. So the Puranas sometimes instruct us through the indirect method of storytelling. This is called Paroksha Vada. Yes, this is allegorically explaining the point through an illustrative story, as to not to disturb the Jivatma. So in a similar way here, Narada Muni was preaching to a king. So he is using this method. Paroksha Vada, telling a story. So he says that, thus King Puranjana, being attached to fruitive activity, Kamakandya, as well as kit and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at that point, not very much liked by those who are attached to material things, that is, death. Krishna explains that these are the evils that every living being have to take darshan of. Janma, mirtu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. That as long as we live, we will face these four. Janma. We take birth and then we celebrate it. Happy birthday. Actually, there is no happy birthday in reality. It's just a soul being thrown into this prison house, the material world. We call that happy birthday. And then when he dies, we cry, we say, ah, shame, poor Sarah, she just died, she's such a beautiful girl. Yeah, we don't celebrate that. But all these are punishments to the living entity. And the reason why The divinity undergoes these punishments due to karmakandiya process. When he is attracted to karmakanda, automatically he confirms his passage into this material world of birth, old age, diseases, and death. So here Puranjana, being attracted by karmakandiya, Briya Travar, and he was confirming his coming to this cycle of birth and death, the cycle of material existence. So therefore, the Vedas initially propounds four goals. One is dharma, or religious regulative life, economic development, karma, or regulated enjoyment, and then finally it propounds moksha. These are four goals. Because after enjoying, one needs to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So then the Vedas, Moksha Dharma Shastra, explains how by performance of different sacrifices, one is able to atone for his or her misdeeds, which he may have performed through this process of karmakandiya, and thus attain liberation. Yes, so that facility is there. But higher than that, there is a fifth goal, Panchama Purusharta, which is awakeness of our devotional service to the Lord. Yes, that is Krishna Prema. That is not commonly known to most of the people. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to bring the jiva to this platform of Pancham Purusharta, or the fifth goal, which is love of Godhead, initially is giving us stories and incidents in regard to how the living entity is entangled in karmakandiya and dhyanakandiya, how eventually he comes to the platform of devotional service. This is very, very important. Why? Because the material world is so glaring that sometimes we get sidetracked. We get diverted. It's like sometimes when we're in Haranam, we see on the windows many nice clothes displayed, and then you're chanting Hare Krishna, but you're looking into the mirror. Yes. So the material world has so many glaring displays that sidetrack the living entities. So the Shastra become the guiding point. It's like a beam of light when you are in the darkness. You may not see where you are walking, but when there's a light in front of you, you get the direction. So the Shastra is that direction for all conditioned souls. So the Vedas explain that, Manu Samhita explains that the, what it says, Pravitir to Mahapalam, that the real enjoyment to the conditioned souls seems to be on the part of Pravitrimak, Pravitir. Nivritis to Mahapalam. But in actuality, real enjoyment is on the part of detachment or Nivritimak. How is that? It is explained that sometimes material enjoyment or material happiness appears to be relishable. But in the end, it becomes a bitter pill. Whereas enjoyment, or what one experiences on the path of detachment, appears to be a bitter pill in the beginning, but in the end, that which appears to be austere becomes like nectar. Why? Because in the end, one is able to enjoy unlimited spiritual bliss. Whereas material happiness has the beginning, also has the end. Here Prabhupada gave an example how a saintly person met different personalities, how when he met a prince, he told him that do not die and do not live. Because this prince, he had a lot of money to enjoy while living. But this enjoyment, in the end, leads to the abode of Jamaraj. In the beginning, it seems like he is having a good time. But in the end, his position becomes very lamentable. Priya apriyas. Padmas says, Priya apriya, Viyoga samyoga janma. Sakala, Sokagnina yonisu. That in the material world, the living entity go through priya and apriya, pleasing and displeasing situations, as if burning in fire. And Prabhupada Maharaj explains that. He is praying to Lord Nishimadev. He said, I do not want any material benedictions. I simply want your devotional service. Because in the material world, we get miseries, even though we do not invite them. The material situation is such that we become miserable even though we do not want to be miserable. So in the material world, people are working for two things: to gain pleasure and avoid pain. But somehow or other they get pain. Sometimes they get disappointed. But no one wants to be disappointed. This is the nature of the material world. Therefore here it is explained that Puranjana, he met, even though in the beginning he was looking for priya, pleasing situation, but here now he is meeting with apriya. This is the nature of the material world, pleasing and displeasing. And it says here, why? Because he was obsessed with polluted consciousness. Eventually, he arrived at the point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. That is death. Because when death comes, he takes away everything. And it becomes a shocking experience that suddenly a person who had all the things that are pleasing and they are now being taken away. It become a shock. It become a surprise. But for those who are on the path of nirvritimok, the path of detachment, they understand this fact, that these things that we are attached to, they are temporal. They can leave us at any moment. And therefore, they are not surprised, because they are always focused on the fifth goal, Pancham Purushottam, which is love of Godhead, or connecting with Lord Krishna in devotional service. So here, this Kama Kandya path brings one back to the cycle of birth and death. So this is now the end of the story of Puranjana in this life of enjoyment. Now he is coming to the point not very much liked by most of the people in this material world. But somehow or other, they have to come to this point of death. So what that means, basically, it's a graduation. The school is out. Everyone has to go home. But unfortunately, to those conditioned living entities, they think the material world is a home. But it's not a home. It's a school. This school is governed by Durga Devi. She is a headmistress here. And for those students who do not graduate, she punishes them with her trident, which has three spikes, Adiyatmika, Adibodhika, Adibodhika, Adidevika. The miseries that are caused by natural disasters, the miseries that are caused by our mind and body, the miseries that are caused by other living entities. So the material world is a school. What for? Saha yagya prajashridva. When the living entities were allowed to come here, they were given the process of yagya. And the Lord blessed them by saying that if you perform this yagya, you will graduate from this school. But somehow or other, most of these jivas have forgotten that they are in school. They have to do their assignments and graduate and go back home. And therefore, Durga Devi is punishing them in so many ways. So those who are following the path of Karmakanda, they are like students who are considering the school to be their home. Whereas those who are on the path of Nishkama Karma, they are on the path towards devotional service. They are on the path towards back home, back to Godhead. They do assignments and graduate from this school of hard knocks, the material world. So this is the point here in the story of Puranjana. So the living being has two kinds of duties, termed constitutional and conditional. Conditional duties refers to those activities that we do for the body and the extended body, like our family, our friends, our nation. And constitutional duties refers to our spiritual duties, the activities that we do to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samsidhir Hari Doshana. So it is said that when these two converge, when they run parallel, we can do both. But when they diverge, when they branch off from each other, we should stick to our constitutional duties. Yes. So in other words, material activities, if they are favorable for our elevation, if they are favorable for devotion service, we can do them parallel with our constitutional duties. But if they are not running parallel or not favorable to devotion service, we have to give them up and stick to our constitutional duties or activities that are conducive or favorable towards devotional service. So this is the understanding. So Puranjana here, he was just a Kamakandiya living entity interested in performing activities that gives temporal results in the material world. That's called kamya. Kamya means activities that you may perform, you may do, you may not do. That's optional. And then Manusamhita explains that on the other hand, there is what is called nivarta, which means you must do or compulsory action. Those are the activities which pertain to devotional service, like chanting of the holy name, coming to the mandir, worshipping the deities, worshipping the spiritual master, and distribution of prasadam, distribution of the holy name. So that is nivarta. That is compulsory. But optional activities refers to activities that are material, which pertain to the body, which are said to be conditional duties. That we may do, we may not do. But constitutional duty means we must do those activities. So when material duties run parallel with our constitutional duties, we do both. But when they diverge, when they branch off from our constitutional duties, and then we stick with our constitutional duties or devotional activities. So that is higher intelligence in any situation. To see what is constitutional, what is our constitutional duty, what is our conditional duties. So in that way, we can ascertain as to what is favorable and what is unfavorable for devotional service. So this story of Puranjana, it gives us that kind of view, an overview to conditional life. Yes, Puranjana represents Jiva who is conditioned. As Narada Muni says, Asit Nama Puranjana. That once upon a time there was Puranjana, but he's referring to this king that he was talking to. That this Puranjana, what was his problem? Brihatshava. He was attracted by Kamakandiya activities to the exclusion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always accompanying him as Paramatma. Therefore, Naramun says, Sakka Namasit Avigyata Nama Sakka Namasit. That Puranjana had a friend who was known as the unknown. This is the Supreme Lord as Paramatma. He remains unknown to those living entities who are caught up in the network of materialism. So therefore, this point is very, very important. Sometimes these activities are very, very attractive, very glaring, to the point that even though one may be spiritually inclined, you may get sidetracked. So it's very, very important to understand what is constitutional to us and what is conditional. What is our conditional duties and what is our constitutional duties? If they run parallel with each other, and then we can do both. But if they diverge, if they branch off, and then we stick with our spiritual duties. So in that way, we can be saved from a lot of trouble of having to migrate in this cycle of birth and death, which is what is happening now in this story of Puranjana. So with these few words, I'll beg to stop here, since I'm traveling in 1 hour out of Vrindavan. Does anyone have any comment or question? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice lecture. Sometimes it might be very difficult to ascertain whether one particular situation is favorable or unfavorable. And what are the techniques to determine?
Rupa Goswami has given instructions in regard to what is conducive for our devotion and what's not in the nectar of instructions. There he explains that over endeavor for material things that are very difficult to obtain is not conducive for devotional service. Over collecting also is not conducive. Association with non-devotees, following rules and regulations of devotional service just for the sake of following them, not for the sake of making spiritual advancement, just acting whimsically without following the instructions of the previous acharyas also is not favorable. So he has given a lot of guidelines towards that direction. So by reflecting back into these books, we can understand what is favorable for devotion service in any situation. But it takes attentiveness. If we are attentive, we will see in any situation that there are things that are favorable and there are things that are unfavorable. So if we remember the instructions of the acharyas like Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion and Nectar of Instruction. So any devotee who is alert, vigilant, he will always see in those terms. What is favorable, what is unfavorable, what is conditional duty, what is constitutional. It takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. Any other comment? Yes, Prabhu?
Maharaj, thank you for the nice lecture. And a question about Brahmachari. Was he a devotee or not? Because he was going back to Godhead if he was giving up his body.
Who is that?
The Brahmachari. Was he a devotee or not?
He was asking whether the Brahmachari mentioned
is a devotee or not. Because Brahmacharya. Puranjana. Oh, Prabhupada, in the purport. Yes, he was a devotee, according to Prabhupada.
Okay, what was the difference then between him, the Brahmachari, and the other devotee?
The Brahmachari generally is engaged in tapasya. So because he is always engaged in tapasya, the sage blessed him by saying that you should die immediately and go back to Godhead. Because you do not need to spend more time in this material world. And, okay, there are so many other personalities here. But, and then to the hunter, he said, okay, when he met a hunter, he blessed him by saying, neither live nor die. The point is that those were very sensual, are engaged in sense gratification, and do not wish to die. And then the other person was a prince. My dear prince, you may live forever, because he had a lot of money and a lot of desires to enjoy his money. So the sage blessed him to live forever, because if he dies, he will have to go to hell. Okay. Any other comment? So, thank you very much for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki.